put Brother Earl Failer on right now if you'll come down. Earl is a ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, a teacher in a Bible college, and I am eagerly awaiting his message tonight.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word tonight, oh God. Lord, I just thank you for the moving of your spirit in this people. You are so incredibly good to us, oh God. We love you, oh God. We thank you. We praise your holy name. We ask now your anointing upon your word, your anointing upon every mind and heart, your anointing upon me as the messenger to bring your word. And just pray that, oh God, this would further accomplish your will during this camp meeting. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this evening is Truly Made of God. Truly Made of God. Throughout this camp meeting, Jesus wants to build faith and to give us new hope. He wants to continually give us a greater expectancy and confidence in His will and in His plan being done in our lives. And God is speaking to us and He's saying, in effect, believe me, trust me, I will do the work. The truth really is that only God can make us into vessels that will glorify and honor Him. And He wants us to really take hope and do this actively in our minds and hearts. And He wants us to see that every enemy and every obstacle will crumble as we see and experience God's power in new and greater ways. Now the first thing I'd like to do, just to challenge you a bit and to encourage your hearts, is to paint a very brief picture as to what God is wanting to make us into. And these are basically very familiar things, but let them really strike your heart. He wants to make us into a bride without spot or wrinkle. He wants to make us into His image and into His likeness. He wants us to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Son of God. He is wanting to make us into a man-child that has power and humility to deal a death blow to the seventh head of the dragon. He wants us to be able to walk with Him like Enoch and Elijah so that He can take us to be home with Him. He wants to bring us to a place where we will possess dominion as Christ possessed dominion. He wants us to be victors just like David was a victor over Goliath. He wants us to be victors just like Elijah was victorious over the prophets of Baal and as Daniel was victorious over the lions in the lion's den. He is calling us to be interpreters of God's word, one among a thousand. He is truly wanting to make us into men and women that have been transformed by His power. He is making us into a people that can say, just like Peter did at the Gate Beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He's wanting to make us like the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, where they were facing the fiery furnace, and this is what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set before us. No matter what, they were going to continue to live for God. He is going to bring us to a place where we will say as Job, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And also as Job said following his trial, I now know that thou can do all things. He is really going to make us like this. It is really going to be done. He is going to make us as Moses before Pharaoh, and we are going to say with authority and power, let my people go. He is going to make us as David before Goliath, where he said, is there not a cause? Which meant, in effect, Yahweh is well able to back me up, and I will not let His name be shamed. He is going to give us this kind of testimony. He will make us as Christ, who stood and said, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, as I was considering these things and many others, it stirred me, and I have been really stirred by God over the past number of months. And it was just causing me more and more to desire in my heart to have this kind of testimony. I want this kind of testimony before the world and before God. Not that it would glorify me, that is not the desire, but that it would truly glorify Jesus Christ. And this, what I have depicted here, is exactly what the absolute will of God is for you. This is the will of God. The will of God, ordained by God, is that we would be victors and overcomers. And it's something real. It is something tangible. It is not make-believe. Now, one other point here. This basically describes the outward. And I want you to know that the making that God is involved in is so much deeper than these outward pictures. These are just outward pictures. And the making is so far beyond just what is seen on the outside. Now, the real making is in the soul and in the spirit. And then it will be manifested outwardly. It's much more than just seeing the outward and then for us trying to attempt to be like that. That is not the way to go about it. It's to see that these men and women stood up with God's power and they were transformed. And the list goes on and on and on. And it goes throughout all of church history, throughout the whole history of the church. And you see people standing up, made by God. They were not made by themselves. They were made by God. And they just didn't see other people who had done certain things. And then they decided, I'm going to be like that outwardly. It was done on the inside by the supernatural working power of God. And then it came forth outwardly. And that's what I'm really talking about. And in effect, it means that we don't really know what God is going to make us into. Because the outward pictures do not really depict what He's doing. It is so deep. It is so profound. It's going to be experienced by the Spirit as God is doing it in our lives. And it will be manifest outwardly. But in my estimation, as far as us really knowing what He's actually making us into, I don't think we'll have the words to describe it. I don't think we'll have the words to even begin to describe it. Now, where does this leave us when we see what God wants to make us into? It leaves us with but one hope. God must ultimately do the work. Let me just read to you a few scriptures and just listen to these afresh. And just consider, these are the promises of God. And these are yea and amen to those that believe. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work will perform it. That's Philippians 1:6. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The day is coming. It is coming. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. No flesh should glory in His presence. Ye are in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:29 to 31. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 6:44. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. That's where we are. Help us. And he is. And he will continue to do so. Psalm 79:9. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3. Here's a verse that I thought was wonderful. It was used by David Wilkerson in one of his latest newsletters. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. The Lord of hosts is with us. Psalm 46, 9 to 11. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's 2 Peter 2, 9. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. That's that which he has promised, that which he has stated, it's going to be done. He is going to do it. It will be accomplished. Micah 7, verse 20. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Now, as far as the scriptures are concerned, and there are many, many other very clear and very powerful scriptures, I'm sure many examples have come to your mind regarding people being made by God and having the power of God upon them and the power of God flowing through them. And I'm sure also your minds are now whirling with other scriptures that show that it's God by His power, by His Spirit that is going to make us. And so the scripture is very clear in all of this. And He has made it it's very, very clear, very obvious that He's going to perform the work. He's going to do it. He said He would. Now, we have the promise. We have this promise. But we've got to look at the how of this thing more deeply. How is it really going to be done? Look at man's general, overall state of being. Man is weak. Man is carnal. It doesn't get any better either. He's demonized, blocked by confusion, misunderstanding, immaturity, selfishness, and so on. Overall, we can say man is a mess. We can say fallen man is an extremely pathetic creature. He just finds him in that state. He's yielded to so many different things, unwittingly, ignorantly, knowingly. It has caused man to be in a devastated state. And God picks up man in this predicament and in this dilemma and begins to do phenomenal things. Just absolutely phenomenal things. Now we have God who is so big and so great, and then we have man. And He has all these promises. And He has ordained to do it in a way that we have to label really as a mystery. It is a mystery the way that God works. And He's not going to just come and do the work. He will not do it that way. We would like it to be that way often. And we have felt that strongly. Lord, just come and do the work. Just do it. Just change us in a moment of a time. And He says, no, I'm not going to do it that way. Because you have a part. You have a very important part. And that's what I'd like to deal with. Our will is involved. We are told by God to do things. And we must do them. Now, here are some considerations. These are the things that I want you to really think about and to evaluate. Now, see, just as in looking at this to begin with, it's really a very perplexing matter. We have God and these promises, and the whole thing sounds like He's just going to do it. But then the thing somehow keeps falling back on us to an amazing degree. And it becomes perplexing. And it's hard to figure out. And it is a big dilemma to every single person that is trying to live for God. And people go through all sorts of different trials and problems because of this. And it's important to realize that because of the way in which we end up being perplexed, the devil has oftentimes been able to come in and take advantage of the situation with legalism and with works and with striving and with all sorts of self-effort and self-determination. He has really taken advantage of those who are wanting to be something for God. He really has. And here we are desiring this with all of our hearts, to be all these things that He's calling us to, and to be able to love Him, to serve Him, to be able to really surrender. And the devil comes in and starts to take advantage. And we end up taking some wrong turns, ending up on some wrong pathways. So we must specifically pray and ask God to give us revelation. We must ask Him to make it more and more clear to us what is our part. What is really and truly our responsibility? There's a great amount of confusion in this and hundreds of misconceptions. The devil's strategy is part of what helps us to realize, though, more and more, that self is not going to form what God is calling us to be. Here we are in this dilemma, and the devil takes advantage of us, and he causes us to get frustrated and perplexed and confused, but that actually works as part of God showing us how much we need Him. So even though the devil's taking advantage of us, the truth of the matter is, God's taking advantage of the devil. The devil has taken advantage of every single one of us, and then God is turning it around to take advantage of the devil. And this is happening over and over and over again. As Jesus oversees life, He is using Satan, demons, situations, circumstances, tests, trials, problems, battles, etc., to prove that we are weak. Then as He rescues us from all of these different situations, we really learn that ultimately it's only in Him that we become anything of value and real purpose in the economy of God. Now, I'd like to just share a few things as to where I am and what God has been doing in my life. And as I was preparing this sermon, I just felt like this would be the way to share these things. And I want to share these in a way that would be an encouragement to you and offer new hope and stir your hearts afresh. And God has been doing wonderful things in my life. I am thankful beyond words. And the first thing that I am doing, and I'm doing this every day, and I know that it's by God's strength, I claim no credit, no credit in this, but I am determining, and I really am doing this, and I am calling upon God to give me the strength, and this is exactly what He wants each one of us to do, to say, I am going to live for God, and I am going to love God every day, no matter what. And I feel this more and more in my life, and I am determining this with not just my mind, but with my heart, my soul, my spirit. I am putting everything into this. And this is forcing me more and more to come to grips with God, come to grips with His Word, come to grips with these demonic spirits that attack, and to come to grips with life itself. I feel like God is growing me up, and He's growing all of us up. And so we're coming to grips with all of these different things that are really going on. And one of the key things is that I'm really beginning to understand, and this is happening to many, but I'm beginning to understand, you're beginning to understand, that we really have to bring our thoughts into captivity. We have got to realize what is going on up here in the mind and where this feeling has come from. And why am I feeling this way? I have had a number of experiences over the past few months where I did not know before that this thought was a demonic thing planted right in my mind. I did not know it before. And it has become so clear, point after point, in all sorts of different situations, that I know it's God who's been doing it. But I'm beginning to realize I have to be involved with this thing directly. I can't be passively involved. I've got to be tied right into it. So I'm asking God more and more to really put a guard upon my mind. And these are all basic things. But instead of it just being theoretical, theological, I am realizing that it's life. And without doing these things, I will not make it with God. I will not be made into what God wants to make me into. Now, another thing is, every day, I am further deciding to be whatever God wants me to be. And I am actively saying this and praying this. And I'm saying, Lord, I do not care what you want to do in my life. I do not care what you want me to be or what you want me to do. I do not care. But I'm going to be whatever you want. And I'm really meaning it. And I'm asking God to help me to mean it even more. Because there's a price involved. And He needs to give the strength and the revelation to pay the price. I am saying, I will do what you want me to do. I will do it. And I'm believing God and trusting Him for this as best as I can. And then I'm believing for Him to help me do it even better. For Him to get more glory and more honor. And I feel like He's bringing me more faith in this. And I feel like more faith is coming through these camp meeting sermons, exhortations, songs, dancing, and all the rest. Another thing is I am learning to welcome tough situations because I know they are working for me and forcing me to call upon God. I have seen all sorts of things in my own life and in other people's lives lately where it's just like my eyes have been opened and I can see the significance of tests and why tests are important and why in those situations God can accomplish so much. Because the bottom line in the test is, Lord, if you don't get me through this, I'm not going to make it. Right. And it's really the truth. So we are forced out of necessity to really call upon God. I'm beginning to be thankful in the right way for tests and trials. And I understand that God really knows how to use them. And I'm very appreciative in my heart to God for this. And I know that God is allowing the devil to harass me. I had been harassed, and instead of blaming myself or feeling like it was me, somehow just I'm weak and I'm a failure or whatever, I have realized that is a demonic attack, and I'm just being harassed by the devil. And I'm starting to realize, well, what else is new? And I'm learning, well, if he's going to do that, I'm going to just live more for God. See, I'm seeing that these demons, they are bullies. They're bullies.
Right.
And they're looking for a fight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fight back.
Right.
And each one of us needs to come to grips with this.
Yeah.
And more say, Lord, help me to realize how to fight back.
Yeah.
How to turn this attack of the devil into something that is to my advantage as I take the offensive against these attacking spirits. Now, I know these enemies are far too strong for me. That has been proven to me many, many times. And it's very obvious to me. And I'm sure there's going to be other attacks that will help prove even more so that I'm weak. But in that weakness, I'm going to become strong. And you're going to become strong. Because we'll call upon Jesus Christ like never before. So I am saying, in Christ I win. In Him I can do all things. And this is what God is doing in all of us. And it's really God doing it. Even though we're saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take this position, we're really understanding that it's God getting us to this place. And it's His power working so that we're able to even begin to say these things or even to consider some of these things. I'm seeing more and more that there is no reason to ever quit. There is no reason. I do not care about your failures. I do not care about your problems. It does not matter about your marriage. It does not matter about your inability to pray, inability to witness, poor grades in Bible college, lies, rumors, persecution, mind battles, or anything else. Some weakness in the flesh. It does not matter. None of those. None of those. None. That's N-O-N-E underlined. None. Are ever the reason to quit. There is no reason to quit. There isn't one. There's no reason to be in despair. There is no reason. There's no reason to be swamped with discouragement. What are we supposed to do? We can't do it in and of ourselves. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. So if I call on Him according to His promises, then it's all up to Him. And I'm beginning to see this, and you're beginning to see it even more than we have in the past. I'm coming to see that I'm his problem and his responsibility. I am. You are. You are his problem. You are his responsibility. And he's promised to do it. He's promised to take the problem and turn it into glory for his name. That's what he's promised. It's either true or it's not. There's no in between. I'm accepting God's grace. He's promised to forgive me. I've been sorely tested with condemnation, with discouragement, all sorts of things like that. And many of you have had these same tests. And I've had the enemy come and I have failed a number of times over the last few months. And the enemy has come in and attacked, and I stumbled and I said, I am not going to stay down there. I am not going to stay down there. He loves me. He said he'd forgive me. I'm going to get up and go on with God. And it, you know what? It works. And you're finding that as well. I am so thankful to God. I'm going to keep putting my hope in Him. He has the answers. He has the solutions. And He loves us. He loves us. With each new day, I am putting the past behind me. I am giving Him my life afresh. I'm giving Him my marriage. I'm wanting God to do certain things in my marriage. I can't even begin to put my hand to it and do it myself. But I'm going to trust Him to do it. And I'm going to trust Him to show me what to do step by step and give me the strength. Same thing with my children, my ministry, everything. And God is doing it. I am thirsting for God. I was talking to one person, I just started to feel such a hunger to be a man of God as God wants. It was just something was inside. I just wanted to be what God wanted me to be. And it's all come about as God has continued to touch my life, just like He's touching your lives. And there's just faith. It's faith in God is really the bottom line. And I know that He is making me. He's changing me. And He's doing that in your lives. I want to challenge you. I want to call you to do these same things. I feel like God has said this about 15 times already in this service alone. I feel like the pastor already preached my sermon twice. And I feel like God really gave me this message. And God gave him those things to say. Because we have got to get this. We've got to get this. Many of you are doing these same things. Keep doing these things. Jesus is wanting all of us to become His bride. I am calling you, and I know God is calling you, to open up and to surrender so that all of us can truly be made of God. Trust Him right now, this day. With your problems, weaknesses, trust Him. Decide to trust Him. He's right here today to give you the strength to do it. His Spirit is here. He is making you. Trust Him that He's making you. Love Him. Seek Him. Hold on to Him at all costs. One other point here. When you really consider how He's doing this, it isn't just, well, He promised. And it isn't, I'm holding Him to His promises. It is really a mystery how He's doing it. If we really look at how God gets us to where He does, how did He get this church free like it is now dancing? How did He bring deliverance? How does He really get us to make these decisions, to make these affirmations? How does He really bring this to us so that we know this is real. This is the truth. It's not just by reading the book. It's really done in a very mysterious way by His Spirit. And He's doing it in every one of your lives. He is setting you up so that all you can do is trust Him. He is in hundreds of thousands of different ways. And He's going to get all the glory. We're going to acknowledge on earth that we have been truly made of God. And we will acknowledge in heaven that we have been truly made of God.